May God open our ears and our hearts that we may hear and respond to his word to us this morning. Amen. Please sit down. Jesus said, "Come and see. Come and see." This morning I want to explore what this invitation means to you and me. The Gospel of John begins with the Logos, the Word of God, the light of all people. And just five verses later, a new figure strides powerfully onto the stage, the witness to the light, John the Baptist. Unlike St. Luke, who takes us through the whole Christmas story before introducing John the Baptist in chapter 3, John is not concerned with a cast of angels, nor shepherds, nor kings, but with a voice crying out in the wilderness, calling on the people to repent, calling on the people to change. 500 years after Isaiah, in the reading we heard this morning, John the Baptist is the final prophet, the witness to the arrival on earth of the Lamb of God. This wild man of the desert attracts passionate and committed followers, Andrew and John, the beloved disciple among them. John the Baptist's personal relationship with God, no doubt being in the desert and a deep prayer life, has inspired this close relationship, ignites his preaching with power and great authority. He has seen the Spirit of God descending from heaven and resting on Jesus himself. John is convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God himself has told him, we heard in verses 32 to 34. "I myself have seen and testified that this," Jesus, "is the Son of God," he said in verse 36. The Son of God? Could this be true here on earth in Israel now? How could this be? Has the Messiah really truly arrived? For those who had been longing for this moment to come, and that included the people, not just the Pharisees and the scribes, this was explosive stuff. Just imagine being in that market square, listening to the powerful oratory of this man dressed in animal skins. It was electrifying. His message was quite different from the religious rules being insisted on by the Pharisees and the scribes. The next day, John was standing again with his two disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed again, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The Baptist was saying that the Son of God was also the Lamb of God. In St. John, who wrote in verse 1, chapter 1, "The Son of God is the Logos, the Word, who was with God and was God." But the Lamb of God? Lamb was a potent metaphor for sacrifice, an idea very familiar in society that valued their flocks for income and food, and who sacrificed to God their best lamb each Passover, as instructed in Exodus 12. With those powerful descriptive words, Son and Lamb, echoing in his head, and with his own expectations of whom the Messiah might be, what sort of person would Andrew expect to see as he looked at the man walking by as he stood next to the Baptist and heard the words, "Look, here is the Lamb of God"? Whatever they saw, it was enough for them to follow. And Jesus sees them. The crowds are not big around him at this point. Jesus turns towards them. He turns towards their interest in him. He responds to their tentative steps. Unexpectedly, he asks, "What are you looking for?" So how do Andrew and John reply? Rather weakly, I thought, if addressing a man proclaimed to be the Lamb of God. "Where do you live?" Sounds a sort of conversation we might make at a party. "Where do you live?" They have had followed Jesus, but they're not at all sure of themselves, are they? nor indeed of this man standing before them. Perhaps he seems all too ordinary. And maybe that's a reflection of your faith journey as it is mine at times. We are hesitant when we are meeting, confronting with Jesus. Now, Jesus' response is not a vague, "Oh, just down the road," but "Come and see." Very welcoming. "Come and see, walk with me, join me." It's all very natural, very engaging, non-judgmental. A masterclass of how to lead others into encounter with the Lamb of God. So they went, they saw, they stayed. Jesus was very generous with his time. He stayed the whole day. He had good reason to be. He was discerning their calling as his disciples. He was laying the foundations of his church. And what he said obviously had a huge impact on Andrew. He had had quite a few days of it, had Andrew. John the Baptist dramatically proclaiming in his hearing, this man before him was the Lamb of God, the Son of God even. Jesus had had time to convince Andrew, one to one, that this astounding fact was true. We don't know what it was that Jesus said to him, revealed to him. All we know is that Andrew was convinced of the truth, and now Andrew had a mission of his own. He simply had to tell his big brother Simon about what he discovered. Those of you who have tried witnessing your deeply felt faith to a skeptical family may relate very powerfully to at this moment how difficult that is. "We have found the Messiah," Andrew proclaims. And what a story he had to impart, his one-to-one conversation with Jesus. And obviously, he does convince his brother, or at least piques his interest, takes him to meet Jesus the very next day. That phrase again, we're in a hurry here, obviously. I wonder if Simon went willingly. Would you? Would you go willingly with your younger brother to meet a man of whom you've heard so much, but whose story sounded too extraordinary to believe? So Simon meets the Christ, and Jesus gives him no time to talk, to reflect, or to think, but looks him straight in the eye and knows him, and gives him a new name for a new life-changing purpose. "Simon, son of John, you are to be called the Rock, Petros, Peter, the firm foundation of the church on earth." That naming must have initiated a great deal of discussion, perhaps heated between them, as Peter confessed to his feelings of weakness, of unworthiness, and how Jesus would have reassured him with the strength that comes from God himself when we do his work, as Isaiah has said. This is a very crucial moment in the founding of the church. Three men, yes, I note no women at this point, they do come later, sit down and set out the agenda for proclaiming the kingdom of God. And the very next day, that phrase again, Jesus continues to build his team. You will read on the verse after today's. And the big question is, of course, what's our part in Christ's mission? Is Jesus calling you and me to be his disciples? Jesus wants to spend time with us too and help us discern our calling. Are we willing to give Jesus our time to come and see? If we, like Andrew, like Simon, do say yes, we know what we are to do and how to do it, because in this gospel passage today we can discern the four steps of discipleship. Step one, be open to the promptings of God, like Isaiah, John the Baptist, Andrew. Step two, respond to Christ's invitation to come and see. Share your fears with him, with Jesus, your hopes with him, one to one. Step three, the difficult bit, tell others. Tell others. Share the good news. Pass on the message. Tell the family even. Step four, bring others to Christ. That's the follow-on, isn't it? Like Andrew did for Simon, invite your new friends to join you on the journey to meet the Messiah, the Saviour, because a personal invitation is always powerful and effective. By our presence in church today, you and I have accepted Christ's invitation to come and see. However, there is more work to do. Our mission as disciples is to carry on the work of Christ here on earth by spreading the good news of the kingdom. Christ has showed us how to live the servant life. That's difficult. Like Isaiah, we may feel inadequate as his disciples, but in Jesus we realize we are honored in the sight of the Lord, and our God has become our strength. We pray that Christ will strengthen us as we labor for the kingdom, because our cause is with the Lord and our reward will be with our God. Amen.